Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, that we are going to be celebrating your birth, Lord, anew, like we did last week, Lord. We may just see, come, receive from what you have done, Lord. You came for a purpose. And Lord, you came in a way that sometimes we don't fully understand. We don't fully appreciate. We are not fully receiving what you have done for us. That we may be able, Lord, to come to grasp and receive the things you have done for us, Lord, by, Lord, understanding the way you work today as you worked 2,000 years ago, Lord. And that we, Lord, our heart may be open, Lord, and as we, Lord, take communion, Lord, that we may realize and understand why you established that, why you did that, and that we, Lord, may fully benefit from it. Because, Lord, everything you did had a purpose, and, Lord, that was effective. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, I want to, you know, look at the way God does things. You know, God does major, big things, spiritual things, things that have impact on the whole world. And he just does it very casually. From a physical point of view, he would say nothing happened. But actually, major things take place. Like, for example, when Jesus was born. I mean, that was probably the biggest miracle of them all. Bigger than even our new creation. Because God became man. The incarnation is something we can grasp. We cannot understand. I mean, how can somebody that is infinite limit become a person? We cannot logically understand God. This is one of the first things that we had to realize. Because if we try to work by our logic, we are not going to get very far. Because God supersedes our logic. Because our logic is limited by our sensual experience, by our senses, by the things that we have learned from this world. And He is not of this world, He is from the spiritual world. The spiritual world. God is a spirit. And if we want to connect with Him, as He said Himself, we had to connect them in spirit and in truth. So it's not just the ceremony that we make. But sometimes we are so much bound by our senses that we miss completely what's happening. So I want to just, you know, point something out from everything that Jesus did. And now he did it, we can see the way God works. And when we understand the way God works, we can benefit, we can receive it more. You know, even going through the communion, that's not, the physical part is not the issue there. The important thing is what happens inside you. And Jesus did it so that you may make that connection, that may be just a trigger for you to be able to receive what he did when he established the new covenant. And sometimes we really don't grasp that too. But I hope that, you know, with the thing I'm going to share today, you know, something may become clearer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, Eyes am not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them, for those who love him. Praise the Lord. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, you know, he has revealed them to us through his Spirit. But that doesn't still mean that we are going to be, you know, fully mentally grasping them. But we can find them through his Spirit in his Word. Because the Word of God is Spirit and truth. And in his Word, the things that we need to understand are revealed. But how many of those people that even knew the Old Testament, in which the prophecies about Jesus' life and the way he was coming and everything else was given, how many were able to really recognize him, understand him, and receive him? Certainly not many. And that's not the way we do things. We do things, you know, when we do something important, we advertise it, we put on the news, we try to figure it out, everything so that everybody knows. Doesn't look like God does the same thing. Seems to me almost that he does the opposite on purpose. And actually, it's not that it seems to me. That's exactly the way you do it, does it, and for a reason. Everything that God does for a reason. He's not, doesn't do things casually, doesn't do things, you know, by mistake. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's doing it precisely what he wants to do. And this is pretty evident, you know, from the scriptures and the prophecy, which predicted so many details, so many factors, so many small details in Jesus' life in his first coming. And has given many more prophecies about his second coming too. And we better believe it. We better expect it. Because he's coming and maybe not, you know, too far from now. Praise the Lord. Okay. You see, the interesting thing, the way God works, okay, most of why God activity works on a private basis, including the birth of a baby that actually changed all humanity, our relationship of everybody with God. How many actually knew it? I mean, they theorized, they talked about the Messiah, and they did lots of things thinking that they knew what they were doing. But evidently, they were not. Because when he came, he didn't recognize him. They did not accept him. Are you following me? That should tell us something about how we are going to connect with God. A little baby was born in a manger, in a stable, with animals around it, and, you know, didn't even have a place to stay. And that was the one that was going to make a difference for all humanity. I mean, that's a different way of thinking, wouldn't you say? And so we had to understand that this is not a single event that took place that way. Most of the time, I would say all the time, when there is a big show, it's not God. Because he doesn't choose to work that way. Most of the time, it's fleshy reaction of people. Now, let me you know, this is a general spiritual principle, okay, that we can get by looking at God when he does things in the Bible. And when we can see it in our own life, is reflected 100%. Okay. Praise the Lord. Information that is important should be shared with wisdom only on a need-to-know basis. That goes against all the theory of today, your approach about reaching out the world. So are you sure about that? Read the scriptures. Find out what Jesus said, and we're going to see specifically what Jesus said about it. Okay. Today, well, this the approach is completely different. With news, media, mostly the things that spread is things negative, bad news, not good news. The good news was just revealed to some angel, some shepherd that were looking after the sheep. Okay. Social media brings out the worst of people. It's the worst things that ever happened to humanity, from my point of view. Because everybody is using it and everybody is becoming a slave of it. And the worst things in the personality of people is developed right there. Why? Because the enemy can work through the people that he control to spread wrong things. And that's not the way God works. Okay, we have to understand. Some people think, you know, well, we can use internet and social media to spread the gospel. I really doubt about that. First of all, Jesus didn't use that. Paul didn't use that. Say, so, well, you know, they didn't have the technology. That's not the issue. The issue is that the gospel can be spread only by personal contact and personal ministry. It's not by giving ideas, but actually touching hearts. And if you don't understand that, you're going to waste lots of time and create the church that we have today. That instead of being strong spiritually, is collapsing under the pressure of the world. It's not to get people to go to church, our job as believers, is to make disciples of all the nations. That's what Jesus gave us to do. And today the church doesn't do that. It just makes meetings. Organize meetings. Organize things. That was completely the wrong thing to do. We had to have people involved, not sitting on pews. That was the church at the beginning. And that's what's going to be at the end. Praise the Lord. You know, God speaking personally to people and in prophecies by revealing very detailed things. Okay, but how many? I mean, there are more than 300 prophecies on Jesus coming in the Bible. First coming. Limiting that. How many really understood the scripture, understood those prophecies to benefit from it and receive? Very, very few. Why? Because prophecies are not logical expressions. They had to be understood by the same way as they were spoken, which is by the Holy Spirit. And unless the Holy Spirit open up the meaning, even after, okay, Jesus came and confirmed more than 300 prophecies in his life. You can take people that study the Bible and they cannot agree even with the prophecies that are said there. And these are people that actually supposedly be theologians who reject, for example, the virgin birth. Well, you know, this is that wasn't said, what they say. It wasn't said virgin, you know, was said a young girl. They play games on words and they miss the point. See, the Bible is not organized as a textbook. And God is trying to communicate to us through the Bible, not through a textbook. If we do not understand that to connect with God, we have to go through the Bible, not a textbook, we are going to be confused. Because we are not going to be operating in the Spirit, we are operating in our own mind. And the mind is the thing that needs to be changed. Our soul is the problem. If you are born again, your spirit, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, is all of God. But your mind, not really. Your mind needs to be renewed, transformed. Actually, your mind needs to be saved. That's what Peter says. And that is a process. It's a process that takes place as you open up and as you listen and as the Holy Spirit ministers to you and changes the way your mind works, the way your mind thinks, the way your mind relates to the world around you and to God. Revelation 3:20, there is because of Jesus knocking at the door. See, he's knocking at the door. He's talking about Christians, you know, to ask to come in. And this is the door that he's knocking as the door of our soul, which is our spirit. And he wants to come in to us. And the more he comes in, and the more you are going to be fellowshipping with him. And that one makes all the difference. You know, it's very interesting because Jesus didn't explain things very well from a worldly point of view. He was talking in parable all the time. And he wasn't doing that just to be entertaining. He was doing that and he explained to that to the disciples. They were asking, why are you talking to us in parable? Because when he was talking to the masses, he was talking in parables all the time or in a language that people could not understand. Very difficult to grasp. But when he would go to the talking to the disciples, he was explaining the parable to them. Why? Because they were the ones that needed to understand. And so they had to grasp to understand the way he was operating. And they asked him, why do you teach in parables? And he said it very clearly. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. No, sorry, I'm jumping here. let me go back here. Okay. I want to show, for example, the way things God works. You know, how that happened here? Happened that at the beginning he revealed to Mary that he was going to have a baby and was going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, but through an angel. That was a really private meeting, wasn't it? I mean, there could be, you know, one person and the angel, and that's it. Now, he could have informed other people too about what was going on. He didn't. Mary had to face Joseph, which was engaged to. And he found out suddenly that she was pregnant. She was expecting. That was a shock for him. He didn't know what to do. Can you imagine to be in a situation in which you find out suddenly that somebody that you're going to marry is waiting for, is expecting a baby? Can you imagine the people around that saw Mary getting bigger and start talking about her? There were lots of stories about her, you know. One of the stories was that he had, you know, an affair with a Roman soldier. See, people talk and put their nose. It's like, you know, Facebook. I hope that it's on because I start hating Facebook. Okay, from what I can see doing it. Okay. Now, so Joseph was struggling with this idea. What do I have to do? He was a good man. He was an honorable man. And so God speaks to him. Doesn't speak to all the other ones that were gossiping around. Okay? Praise the Lord. And while Joseph, you know, thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to your Mary to your wife, for that she is as conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, that was a dream. How many people today would have a dream like that and believe it? Would you believe it? That's, you know, you are a believer and so on, you know. What would you take? Probably you say, you know, this is the devil trying to trick me. Hello? See, but the mentality of Joseph was completely different. He didn't think it was the devil. Okay? And she would be, then the angels prayed even more. And she would bring forth a son, and you will call him Jesus, which means, you know, Jehovah saves. For he will save his people from their sin. Okay. And so that what happened is concluding that, you know, and it was going to be fulfilling what was written by this prophet about the Lord. About before, okay, so, you know, and explain the prophecy about the virgin would be giving child. I'm not going to go into the detail. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did what the angel had then commanded him, okay? And so, you know, he had no problem. He came to the conclusion. You see, he accepted what God was telling him. Why? Because he understood how God works spiritually. He understood that God was speaking to him. He believed. He was a believer. Sometimes we should be less logical and more believing. Because with our logic, sometimes we just stop God's ability to do the things in us that he wants to do. That should be an example for us that took place then. Okay. So, now let's go to the parable now. Okay. Jesus teaching all the time and teaching in parable instead of to the masses and teaching, you know, explaining things to the disciples so that they would learn to understand what he was doing and would do the same thing. Okay. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 says, you know, for I speak to them in parable because, and there is a reason, you see, he wasn't doing just for the sake of, it's more entertaining. They can remember it better. That wasn't the purpose. Okay. All right. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear. Nor they understand. And in them, the prophecy, and that again, you know, prophecies that are given, you know, they're an application and an application. Prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will not hear. You will hear and shall not understand. Seeing, you will not see and not perceive. For their hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes are, they have closed, and lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts turned, and I should heal them. But blessed are you, for you see with your eyes and you can hear with your ear. So the idea is this, that we have to learn to hear. And if we don't hear, see, lots of people say, oh, I can't hear God. You got the problem. It's not God that doesn't talk to you. You are blocking him out. Are you listening to me? God is speaking to everybody. The reason why we don't hear is because we cannot, we have ear, not ear to ear and eyes to see and be able to understand so that he can heal us. Lots of people, you know, God wants to heal everybody. And when I talk about healing, I'm talking about everything that is involved in the atonement. Deliverance, freedom, healing, success. Okay? But people don't receive many times. Why? Because they cannot hear God. Because they are walking with their logic instead of allowing God to speak them to their heart. See, our heart is the gatekeeper that blocks even to born-again believers, to a degree, the ability for them to receive. So that the communication that comes from our spirit and from the Lord, you know, cannot get through to our soul and to our mind. So we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to believe. Okay. This is so important. You see, God's works specifically in detail. He knows exactly and perfectly what to do. When he prophesies in the past, he had precise elements that will take place, but they're expressed in a way that is very difficult to connect to. People think that by doing analysis on the scripture, they're going to get the understanding, and they are generally going to be wasting lots of time because they're not going to get to the truth. The only way to understand the scripture is by revelation of the Holy Spirit. It's the revelation of the Holy Spirit that open up the scriptures to us and make us see, oh, yes, that's what he was meaning. The Bible is a prophetic book. We had to take it as God speaking to us. Are you following me? This is so important for us to grasp. Okay, we read scripture and we take them at face value. Jesus said, my word, they are spirit and they are life. And so we had to take his word, which actually so he was the word made flesh, so it's all the Bible, isn't it? Okay. His word, they are spirit and they are life. If there is spirit in it, you can understand, you had to receive them spiritually, not literally. People that take things literally, they work according to the Old Testament principle and not according to the New Covenant. The new covenant is a spiritual covenant. One can, you know, go on forever here, so I'm not going to get into the detail. I want to just point some things out, okay? that we had to look at. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, by which you would do well to heed. See, that's the thing we had to do. We had to respond to it, to allow the word to work in us. You know, even if our mind doesn't understand it, our heart can receive it, and the Holy Spirit will activate it, will empower it to work in us so that it's going to be effective. We had to respond properly by opening ourselves up to the word so that the Holy Spirit can give it life inside us, because the word is alive and powerful. That's what the word says. It's not just a mental thing. So, it says, you do well to heed to it as light which shines in the dark places until the dawn of day and the morning star rises in your heart. I could do a long teaching on the morning star, but I haven't seen anybody talking about that. And not today. There's not enough time. Sometime I will, when the Lord gives me revelation, I have this permission to do that. But for the time we, as I says, you're knowing this first, that the prophecy of Scripture is not a private interpretation. It's not that there are 10 different translations, 10 different interpretations. There is only one meaning. Okay. For the prophecy has never came for the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe in many cases they didn't even know what they were talking about. They said something and they thought that they were talking about something, when instead they were talking about something completely different. And it's amazing how God could use people that they're not doing, knowing what to do, or knowing the thing to do, and use them as mouthpiece of himself to say things. And if you really have been used in that way anytime from the Lord, that sometimes can happen to anybody, then you know, sometimes, you know, it's just not you speaking. The Lord is speaking through you, revealing the truth and saying things that you didn't even know yourself. Praise the Lord. So, one thing we had to learn to do is not to look at physical things and give too much importance to the physical appearance. See, God does not look at the physical, judge people physically appearance, as I said in for David. God doesn't work only on the surface. You know, there is something behind everything that is physical, that is actually spiritual. Okay. And beyond this natural event, there are actually spiritual things taking place. See, it's not the ceremonial important. It's what's going on, for example, in your heart. The physical things are immaterial. They are the result, hopefully, of the right spiritual things taking place. Okay. So, you know, a baby born in a manger, in a stable, you know, behind that, you know, was the God's incarnation in a person. The infinite God becoming a man. How can you figure that out? Okay. At that time, you can see the way God spoke to people, and a few people knew it. I mean, you know, certainly there was demonic opposition for what, you know, just for example, you know, God was doing a great job and the enemy was trying to stop it, you know, and you know, through the people there, through the king there, to Herod. You can see, okay, that beyond just the little baby, there was just like any other baby. He could not speak in Hebrew or any other language. He had to learn by ga-ga-boo-boo at the beginning. Okay? He needed completely be looked after, change his diapers, and everything else like any other baby. Probably wake up at night just like all the other baby do, to have him for milk. Completely dependent. He had to learn what? He had to learn to speak. He had to learn to function in this world. He had to learn the word. Because that's what did the most important thing. The only thing that was different was that he was not a son of Adam. He was without the influence on his spirit. His spirit was already alive. So that he could get things, so that his spirit was working from the very beginning in him, he could connect with God and the Word in a different way than other people could do. See, this happens to people that are born again also. Suddenly, you know, before they may have been reading the scripture and getting nothing, when they're born again and spirit-filled, it's like the Bibles open up and they can start seeing lots of stuff they didn't see before. And they have been brainwashed by the physical senses before. So they had to overcome that training that from the world that they had before. Jesus didn't have that problem. So he just keep growing up. You know, grow in stature and spirit, you know, and the favor of man and God. But he grew like anybody else here. Only much better, and not just having to take down what was built before. Are you following me? Well, you can see, you know, there are the two sides of Jesus. You know, the spiritual side. There was the one who was before, okay? In John chapter 1, explains that, you know, he calls it the Word, okay? The Word, you know, meeting Jesus. You see, we have to understand, looking at his life, okay? And really looking at the way he operated, what he did for us, understanding the things that provided. John 1 says, at the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. You see, he's talking about the fact that he was there before, for eternity. Okay, his unity with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. So you see, he had an existence before. His spirit was in existence before. And without him, nothing was made that was made. See, the power, he had the power of creating the world. Power is in the Word. God spoke the Word and he created it. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming to the world. And so this is, okay, again, the fact that, you know, the ability to the spiritual understanding, he came so that he can show us, make us able to connect with that reality. Okay. And then, you know, he became a man. And when he became a man, there were new things taking place that weren't taking before, that he wasn't operating, wasn't functioning that way before. Okay, verse 11, and verse 10 actually, okay, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, he was in the world, and the world did not know him. I mean, it's interesting. He was in the world and he made the world. How can you logically figure that out? Hello? So we need to kind of let go of some of our way we think about stuff. Because by thinking about the way we think things, we are never going to get very far spiritually. We cannot go by the things we see or the things we think. We have to start to go by what the Word says. Because that's the source of our understanding. And our understanding is not going to be because we have a logical analysis of the sentences. It's because the Holy Spirit suddenly gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and shows us the thing. This is why Paul was praying for the Ephesians and other churches too, Colossians and so on, that they may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because that's the only way that we are going to find out the truth. That's the most important prayer that we can pray for ourselves. Anyway, okay. So that let me continue here. He came to his own, and the owner received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Okay. So here we can see. Okay, we're talking about born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. See, so this born again of God is the result of believing in Jesus, believing in a person. Okay, he is the one that established the contact between us and God, because as we establish a contact with him, we are going to automatically have contact with him, because he is also God. Praise the Lord. You know, when we are born again, our spirit is changed. The greatest miracle, before we are dead spiritually, then we become alive. The greatest miracle after possibly the incarnation. Because, you know, at that time, our spirit become in contact with God as the life of God inside us. So in a way, we become almost like Jesus. At least in our spiritual side. Okay. We have eternal life in us that before wasn't there. And just even to understand that, you know, really, we cannot figure it out logically, but when we start connecting with that reality, with the spiritual reality, then we are starting to appropriate some of these things and make them practical for our physical life. Okay. So, you know, the greatest miracle took place. It says, you know, very clearly, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, all things are of God in you. Praise the Lord. And he established a new relationship, a new, I wouldn't say contract, because contract doesn't respect the thing, a new covenant, a new agreement between us and God through Jesus. A covenant that cannot be broken, that is much better than the old covenant and is working differently, that actually no one can break, because Jesus is the one, is the mediator of that covenant. And really, you know, that's what Jesus did when he established communion. And this is why I bring this up, because we have to understand what this is all about. And this is something spiritual that took place 2,000 years ago. This is nothing else than a symbolic reminder of what took them place. And God wants us, Jesus wants us to remember that, so that we may benefit of what he did. Okay? This is, you know, how we get through his death, took our sins, get our forgiveness, and we become the righteousness of God in him. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who do not sin became sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. That's the power. Okay, I mean, do we believe that? Or are we still looking at our shortcomings and limitations? Are we believing what the Word of God says about us? Or are we just, you know, focusing on our own ideas and thinking? You know, there is a complete different shift that has to take place in our life. Okay. He has provided deliverance from the curse of the law by forgiveness of all our sins. The only thing we have to do is to believe in him. Trust what he has done is enough. Submit ourselves to him. Make him our Lord. And when he does that, then things change. Praise the Lord. Okay. He has delivered us from the curse of the law. That means everything negative in Deuteronomy 29, 30 there. Everything bad. Sickness, disease, poverty, all the things that the enemy has, is the result of the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't stop there. He ministered to us in many different ways. And we can see during his life, he was demonstrating us what God is like. He was an example for us how to connect with God, because he was completely a man, connecting with the Father. And he was showing us how to connect with the Father, how we can depend from him, and how the Holy Spirit is going to guide us in doing the right thing. Okay. He showed us the Father. They said, ask him, show us the Father. We know. He says, you have seen me? You have seen the Father. So what we had to do, if we want to connect with God, know the way God is, know how God functions and operates, see the way Jesus operated. Okay. Doesn't stop there. Okay. We can see how he related and ministered to everybody around him. No wonder went to him. He said, sorry, you are too much of a sinner. Sorry, you made too many mistakes in your life. He received everyone, and everyone that, believed in him, he actually set free, delivered, from demons, healed them, and did all the other things that they needed. He did not turn anyone down, and he does not turn anyone down today that goes to him. He's showing us the way the Father works. And then, he did so many things as he was here. But he had to remember these things. Okay. The tea always functions just as any one of us. He wasn't working as God when he was down here. He gave up all the godly prerogative. There he was working as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. That what God says, for example, in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I mean, all the things that he ministered to. He didn't say, God put this stuff on them. He wasn't going against what God has done when he was healing people. He was doing God's will. And God's will, it was to heal them all, and he healed them all. So when we need healing, or need deliverance, or need any other things, we should know that God's will is to set us free. He has done it, but we have a part. And the part we have is to believe that what he has done is enough, and it was done already. We're going to see scriptures about that. But the important we understand, okay, that when he was ministering, he taught us, he taught his disciples that they could do the same thing that he did to communicate the message that he was communicating, God's acceptance. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 says, told his disciples, and you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Hallelujah. These were the things that he did. Raise the dead. cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. See, they had to learn to receive themselves. They had to understand how he was operating. And he says, you know, now you do it too. Be my representative. That's what he wants. Praise the Lord. And he repeated that not more than once. And he even went very strongly at the end of his ministry when he was just before being, you know, imprisoned. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 12, you know, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, praise the Lord, the works that I do will do also, and greater work than this he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I mean, that's pretty strong words that he said. This is what he told us to do. That's what the church should manifest. And when, you know, his final thing is, all authority is given unto me, therefore you go and make disciples. Make people, teach people to do the same thing that I've been doing now. He was making disciples. We should make disciples. We should just not just preach, but minister, you know. Jesus' healing and deliverance ministry wasn't really what he wanted us to do. And better explain myself here. See, that wasn't a ministry. That was the advertising. That was for people to get interested. That's how we attracted the crowd. That's what we should do to attract the crowds. But that's not church. That's the preparation for discipleship. Are you following me? This is preparing people to see, oh my goodness, there is something beyond the physical going on here. And these people have it. I want it too. A different life. A different existence, a spiritual existence, not a physical one. Are you following me? That's what he was trying to establish. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we have to do today. I believe that this is becoming more and more important as the second coming is coming closer, because we have to prepare to be ready for the final outpour of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. With that, I think we can start going into the second part of the meeting. Yeah, good time. You can call them. We are going to take communion, but I don't want you to take communion just as a ceremony or as an empty type of activity. This part that you see is not the important part. The important part is what's going on inside your heart. That is where the miracle takes place. That's where the impact should be. See, I'm waiting for people to come in so that they can connect with what I want to. These actions, if you want, to this ceremony, produce results. All the impact of the atonement should be appropriated through this. That means healing, deliverance, breakthroughs, everything that you need that Jesus provided. Peace. You just can make a list of all the blessings that are in Deuteronomy chapter 29. All these blessings shall come after you. You don't go after them. They come after you. What does it mean they come after you? That you are, you know, that they just come. They just come to you. Because they are naturally there, but, you know, there is a, they depend on something. And what they depend is what your spiritual position is, your belief. See, God has done everything that needed to be done through Jesus when he died on the cross. That means when he said it is finished, it was finished. You can rejoice about the fact that it's finished. And you had to start believing it is finished. Not just, you know, it's not just the word that's written in the Bible. That should be written inside your heart. See, God does things in the spiritual dimension. But your heart is where what he can do stops. If your heart stops it out. In Nazareth, Jesus was there and wanted to heal everybody just as he did in everywhere else. In the Bible. But he just couldn't do very much. He could not do very much. He could not do very big miracles there. Only do a few minor things. Because why? Because of their unbelief. Because they did not believe in him. See, what we believe and what we don't believe determine what we are going to get. Are you following what I'm saying? See, you can believe something, but at the same time, you have your doubts. Well, your doubts block you from being able to receive what God has done already for you 2,000 years ago in the cross. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we had to believe to receive and stop the unbelief. So it says, you know, that by Jesus' stripes we were healed, where we had to start believing that we were healed then, and it's a reality for us. It's real. It's done. The problem is the same thing as hearing from God. You know, is that, you know, God speaks to us. Do we hear or not? It's because we believe and listen. So are we believing that it was done 2,000 years ago? And are we accepting it? And are we keep believing, not depending on the physical evidences? Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. It happened in the spirit 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years are past. But it's still as powerful and it's still as real today as 2,000 years ago. All the effect of the new covenant, of the atonement, were established and finished and done for everybody. The sins of everybody were taken care of. The sickness of everybody was on Jesus. The one they were coming, you know, the one that are coming there even today. But if we start believing that what he has done is the same thing as being born again. If you are born again, you believe that what he has done 2,000 years ago, receive it for yourself, and your spirit is going to be born again, you are going to be a new life inside you. You believe that what he took his sickness and carried your pain 2,000 years ago. And you believe it. That's going to be manifested also in your life. Are you following me? See, we are the one that block God from being able to do what he wants to do anyway. in Nazareth, they blocked Jesus from being able to heal them. We don't want to be like the people in Nazareth today, because he's here to fulfill his promises. But we have to believe beyond our senses. We cannot go by our senses. We're going to go by our logic. We have to go by what the word says. And Jesus said, who himself carried some body on the tree, you know, in his own body on the tree, our sins, so that we may have the righteousness of God in ourselves, and that by whose stripes we were healed. So that's what we are going to do. And we are going to go through the communion, which is actually from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, so that we understand the things. The way I'm going to do, I'm going to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then we are going to, you know, take turns to come and have, you know, the parts, the elements here. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 11, we start from verse 23. And we see to verse 25, and he's giving there, you know, some things that we need to understand and remember. You see, this is done for remembering, so that we don't forget, so that we bring it to our mind. You know, if you have things from the past, like, for example, if you have sins, or if you have sickness, or if you have you know, saying that you need to be delivered, you know, just look at what he has done and receive it and make himself, you know, believing in him, lining up yourself with him. And put yourself in the position to be able to get the benefit of what he has done. And here explained that. Okay. Starting from verse 23. For I receive from the Lord that which was also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the last night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said it, take, eat. This is my body, which was given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this is the thing we had to do. You know, we go through and we just say that. Okay. So his body, okay, was broken for us, you know, and was broken so that the curse of the law, you know, was broken as well. The curse of the law, or the sickness and disease and bondages and everything else. Okay, all these things have been taken care of because he took them himself. He paid for us so that we don't have to pay. Okay, so going, yeah. In the same manner, he also took the cup on the supper, saying, after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So again, this is the thing, you know, the dying that he did, sharing of his blood, was for the forgiveness of sins. So the spiritual part is taken care of, the physical part is taken care of. Now, the spiritual part we don't see, and we have to just believe it. The physical part we see, and we have to believe it before we can see it. So there's a part, it's a similarity in both of them. Okay. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So he's going to come again. But we, you know, what we do is we make a statement. We take a position for ourselves. Says, this was done and is mine now. And I align myself with him. I believe in what he has done and I align myself with him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So you see, this is really what we do. We acknowledge Jesus' work and his victory that was confirmed by his resurrection. Without his resurrection, a lot of people died on the cross. But he was resurrected and demonstrated that what he said was true. So we have a basis to believe. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, there is the second part. The second part is the instruction for us to actually receive this. So verse 27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. So here he says, okay, you know, I'm not that perfect. Nobody's perfect. Okay. But we have to see what he's talking about here. You can see later on. But let each man examine himself. How we do the examination? You're trying to figure out all the sins that you did? To try to figure out all the time you disobeyed God? Let's see what it says here. And let him, you know, examine himself and let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For who eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner, eats and drink judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So how do we examine ourselves? How long are we going to take to examine ourselves? How much digging of trying to figure out in our memory all the things that we missed we had to spend time for? Do you think that Jesus doesn't know them all better than you do? It doesn't say, examine yourself so that you make sure that, you know, you don't miss anyone. That you make sure that you really repented of everything, you know, that otherwise it doesn't work. That's simply legalism. No. You examine yourself to determine if you really believe what he has done for you and if he really took all your sins. Are you in faith? How do you please God? The only way you please God is by faith. By faith, what does it mean? By faith means that you believe what Jesus did, and that Jesus did covers everything that you did that was wrong. Hello? Otherwise, you are never going to be able to say, yes, I know, you know, I'm okay, I'm worthy. No, you are not worthy for the things you do. You are worthy by believing that what he did is enough. Well, what about if I didn't remember something? If you have to repent about something that you have to repent, the Holy Spirit is going to bring it to you if you connect with God. And even if it doesn't mean that at the moment when you know, make that decision, you know, well, if you don't actually make that decision in faith, you're never going to figure out anyway. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to reveal to you the truth. Are you following me? You can be there working out your salvation for the things you do, or you can instead do the way God works, by faith, appropriating what he has done for everything you did wrong, even if you don't remember, even if you, you know, weren't even completely aware of what you were doing. God is bigger than you're thinking. He wants you to simply and only believe in Jesus. Now, that's how you discern the Lord's body. It's not by, see, the examining yourself is not about discerning your body. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to discern his body. His body was paid for yours. And you just have to thank him and rejoice about what he has done. If there are things that you need to change the way you think, the Holy Spirit is going to work on you as soon as you start connecting with him. No problem. That's going to happen. That's his job, not yours. That's what he does. You know, he brings to your remembrance all the things that you had to remember. He brings to the scripture to you to bring conviction about the things that you did wrong. And he has all the time in the world to do that. But when you come here, you look at him, the author and finisher of your faith. He did everything that needed to be done. And you trust him, not what you do. If you trust you, you are still under the law. You are not in faith. You are actually, if you think that you had to do everything right, you are missing the boat. That may sound new to you, but that's the truth. We are saved by faith, not by works. Not by the things we do, but by the things he did. And we just trust him. Praise the Lord. See, Isaiah 53:4-5 says, you know, surely he has borne our griefs, actually, and we have borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. That's much better translation. And we esteem him not the stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement of our peace, and by his wounds, we are healed now. I mean, we were healed then, as it says in 2 Peter, but you know, we are healed now too. So if you have any physical problem today, just receive it today as we are going to take communion and believe that that thing is done even if it doesn't manifest right away. It has, but see, the manifestation, the event, the healing is from your spirit. Your soul has to transfer that to your body. From your spirit through your body. And your soul has to believe. Your heart has to believe. And when that happens, that transference takes place. The same way as when God speaks to you and you are open, from your spirit, you receive the message. Are you still there? Okay, so we're going to actually now start. And what you do is, you know, we start with myself and Lilian, and then the people in the worship, they're going to come up here so that we can have music. And later on, you know, you can come up from the center aisle and come in this. Now, we didn't have an offering today. If you ever want to make an offering, there is the offering basket there, and you can do it that after you took communion. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to do that. It's long enough. Maybe. I don't know. So we just take him. The bread. Dip in the juice. And we can say more or less, thank you, Lord, this is your body that was shed for us and your blood that you shed for us. Thank you. By your stripes, we are healed, delivered, set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You take it. And you believe it. You keep believing. He has done it. The deliverance took place. And so you had to only receive it now. So now everybody else can come and just line up on the center here.
Remember me. just for you. Take it,
take it,
yeah,
Peter.
Each time you do,
the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are going to a couple of our songs, more songs, but you know, now you know, you went through this, you hold on, you know what happened already, you just keep believing. If there are, you know, different areas of your life in which you have symptoms, bondages or everything else, just speak against those things. Out of the position of what Jesus did already 2,000 years ago. You have victory, and you are going to see Jesus give us the authority to get victory. But we have a part we play. And so now is the time when you can exercise the authority given to you to against the attacks of the enemy, in which you're going to bring manifestation into the physical of what happened in the spirit 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's up to you now. So don't give up. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing. Only believe. That's what Jesus did say all the time to his disciples, and that's what we have to do today.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Glad tidings we bring to you and your kin. Glad tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.